So we left off last week trying to define Makweh Patish, and we had a little bit of difficulty just trying to understand precisely what Makweh Patish means. One thing that we know for sure that has nothing to do with hammers, nothing to do with banging. It has to do with a Gemara Kli, or Tikkun Kli, or Tikkun Mona. Those are the terms that Chazal and the Rishonim used to describe what the essence of the Malacha is. And nevertheless, we still find somewhat of a strange application of Makweh Patish that the Rambam uses. When the Rambam talks about a doctor trying to make a little bit of an incision, makes a little bit of a hole to a person has a wound. So the Rambam describes that if the goal of the doctor making the incision is to improve the healing of the wound, so the Rambam says that's called the Maifis Mursa Lassos Lapeh. He's making the hole specifically so the air should come in, make it clean, nice, whatever the case may be. So the Rambam writes, that's a Malacha Deraisa. The Gemara says, that's a Malacha Deraisa. It's not clear for the Gemara what Malacha Deraisa it is. So the Rambam writes that he thinks it's the Malacha Makweh Patish. So that was a very, very startling Rambam because there's no real clue here. What is he finishing? What was broken that he's finishing is hard to understand. And then the Rambam gave a reason, which is also very difficult to understand. The Rambam writes, Shizui Malachas HaRofe, because this is what the doctors do. So we said, we raised the question at the very end of the shiur last week. That may be medically true, but my nafkamina, what is the fact that doctors do or don't do this? This is in the medical textbook. Why does that automatically make it into Malachas Makweh Patish? It's somewhat of a startling Rambam. So Rav Asher Weiss Shlita has in one of his svarim a fascinating insight in this Rambam, which could potentially have some very, very serious ramifications outside just the intricacies of this Rambam, as he himself points out in this piece. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests that what the Rambam is based on is following, as we hear from Rishalmi, that Malachas Makweh Patish is almost like the default malacha. Means when you have certain activities that are clearly malacha oriented, they are clearly maisim achashuvim ad ba'oid, they are clearly very productive, constructive kind of activities, you are definitely accomplishing something in the constructive state of being. But believe it or not, it doesn't fit into the absolute parameters of one of the 38 malachas. It's not quite bishul, it's not quite kaitzer, not quite kaisev, not quite bainet. We just can't fit into any malacha per se, but it is a malacha. It gives off that appearance of malacha. Something which has that chashivas to it, says the Rambam, shizui malachas ha-reife. The Rambam is making the observation to say that the making of an incision, the creating of this hole, to say it's not a malacha, it's on page 32 in a medical textbook. As we said last week, I think there are only 35 pages in the whole medical textbook in the religion. One so much, but this is malachas ha-reifim. This is what the reifim do. It's impossible to ignore this. So it says of Asher Weiss, but that's a Rambam. By default, that's malachas Makweh Patish. Makweh Patish is any kind of chashivos that can't quite fall into the other malachas is also considered malacha deraisa. That's his beer, fascinating beer, Vedasa Rambam. It's based on this that Moshe Weiss suggests that the next, the perhaps the more significant corollary for us of this principle, then most of us are not doctors, most of us are not opening up people, making holes in people's skins, but he wanted to suggest the following. We spoke a lot about this in the past year, we spoke about this in Havara, we spoke about it in Bona, that it's unclear in the postgame which malacha precisely electricity falls under. When we spoke about electricity multiple times, we broke it down into two different categories. There's electricity with lights, electricity without lights. So electricity with the lights, so that we were pretty convinced is part of the malach of Havara, of lighting a fire. Even that wasn't agreed upon absolutely by every Rishon. That was pretty much the consensus view, definitely in the last 150 years. That was definitely the consensus with the Gedolei HaPoskim, that lights, at least the old style lighting and Nezen bulbs, those are for sure considered Malachas Havara. What was less clear was, what about everything else? What about the turning on the fans and the air conditionings and other things that they don't have any bulbs to them? There's no light, there's no Havara per se. But which Malach of any do they fall under? So we had a big Machlaikis, the Chazanish claimed that they fell on the Malach of Bona. We spoke a lot about that a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Bona. We said the Rosh Hashanah Zalman claimed that it's not really Bona, and then we said maybe it's in the Siddurabon of Molid of a Chadosh. It's like striking, it's like the Gemara describes in Beit, can strike a match on Yom Tov to start a new fire. Maybe anything, any Molid of a Chadosh, any creation, a new force, that in of itself is considered to be at least in the Siddurabon. So we're getting different opinions, whether electrical appliances without flame, without lights, are they automatically the arises because of bono, or they perhaps only made the rabbon? And that's an important enough kamina. It's not an important enough kamina whether we're going to do it or not. No Shomer Torah mitzvah is going to dream of turning electricity on Shabbos, whether you think it's the arise or the rabbonon. But it does have important enough kaminas, legabe and real yakom, situations of cholim. Again, there are important differences in halacha. No. Whether we're dealing with the arises or the rabbonins. So Bashawai suggests in his tshuva that maybe electricity is also a deraisa, but not mitam the chazanish of bona, and not just a derabbana like mola, like some say. Maybe electricity falls into this almost by default category of malacha. To say that I have a device and I'm turning, pressing the button, and now an unbelievable thing happens. I now have a vacuum cleaner that's cleaning my entire floor. I now have a radio that's going on. I now have a fan that's fine. I have an air conditioning. These are unbelievable things. These are dvarim chashuvim b'yoyser. These are unbelievable physical, productive, constructive accomplishments. And we're scratching our head trying to figure out which of the 38 malachas they fall under. Guess what? None of them. They're not havara, there's no lights, and they're not boner, because maybe we disagree with the chazdishas chashuvim with the boner. But to say that it's not a malacha, how are you talking about kazeh? I write two letters, that's called a malacha. I cook an egg, it's called a malacha. I have an air conditioning system on, turning my whole house from being 80 degrees to being 69 degrees. Are you talking about it? That's not nishke malacha. So Rabbi Shavai suggested, that's like the Rambam's malachas chashuva. That's like the Rishami's lashon. That is machbe patish. So all electric devices, whether they have lights or not, fall back into malacha deraisa machbe patish. Now, that's a big kiddush, because we said a couple of weeks ago that a lot of poskim were only treating the electric devices without lights as being a derabbanan, and there are certain kulas that were based on that, and Amir Yaakov, Shus Mokom Mitzvahs, and other things that we were willing, some poskim were willing to make of certain extenuating circumstances to permit Goyim doing certain things with electricity for us based on the premise that everything is derabbanan. According to Rav Shavuos, everything just changed. The whole curveball into the sugya, he ends up in effect back like the chazanish. Not because the chazanish is boner, but because another malacha arises. That's a very, very loaded tshuva, very potentially very, very bichumra tshuva. That again, those who follow that mahalach that he's suggesting. But again, the root of that is based on this Rambam that we've been talking. So kolpanim, we do have this malacha of makor patish, and sometimes it's definitely deraisa. But I want to move a little bit out of the realm of the Makor Patish Deraisa into the realm of Makor Patish Derabanan, into a whole series of different things that Chazal prohibited for us, because they lead to Makor Patish, they resemble Makor Patish, and there are a lot of different potentially assumed Derabanan that fall under this category. So let's start with the first one, which strangely enough may not even be. This may not even be a good example. It's actually machlekes in the Gemara, whether this is a good example or not. But since it's one day, the Gemara says it is a good example, we'll use it to start with. So it's a Mishnah that appears in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Beitza, where the Mishnah talks about Tevilas Kelim. But let's quickly preface by saying we're not talking about the Tevilas Kelim that we're familiar with. It's talking about quote unquote the old style Tevilas Kelim of Tuma. I have a pot that became Tomei, not because of the didn't become treif, and it wasn't bought by a goy. From a goy, it became tomei. It was touched by a person, but it's touched by something that's a davar tomei that has the ability to make a kli tomei. Not everything has the koyach to make kli tomei, but it was a davar tomei that has the ability to make a kli tomei. So now, if I want to use it to cook shimon, use it to cook my sasheni, to cook truma things, or if I want to keep I want to eat chulim b'tahara. Gemara says that it's a wonderful thing to do. That's the to live your entire life, even chul b'tar. Not everyone's always able to do it, but if you're able to, that's wonderful. But certain things must be in b'tara. My pot became tummy, my silver became tummy. I have a problem, so I have to toivel it. So the Mishnah speaks about tefillas kelim. The Mishnah says, quotes actually machlekes atanoim about tefillas kelim. But I won't agree. I'm sorry. The Mishnah says that when it comes to Tefillas Kelim, you have to be very, very careful to toivel all your Kelim before Yontif. So you can't wait till Yontif itself. Let's say a person is going to have the big Yontif meal, eating kachim, eating shlomim, and now they're going to need all the silverware and everything. So they'll wait till Yontif morning, they'll go and toivel everything. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. You have to be toivel as a kobel for Yontif. You have to toivel everything from before Yontif. Why do you have to tevel din before yontif? So there's some kind of an iser involved in tefilas kelim on yontif per se. And again, there's not talking necessarily about our tefilas kelim. So we have tefilas kelim of the days of tumah v'tahara, days of beis hamikdash. So the mishnah says the famous you can't tevel kelim on yontif. Why not? What's the problem? So the Gemara has four different possibilities why you're not allowed to tevel kelim on yontif. So one of the reasons that the Gemara gives for this potential Isser is actually nothing to do with Melacha, nothing to do with the Suri Shabbos and Yontif Zero. It's a totally different concern. The Gemara quotes one possibility that says that Gezeir Shema Yisha, that if we let people tovel their Kalim on Yontif, so they may end up saving up all their Tamei Kalim until that point because they have a lot of free time. So let's say a guy realizes every Yontif, he's very tarud, he's very busy, his pot just became Tamei. So why should I waste time now? I'm going to work, I'll be home for the office 3 o'clock, I've got 2 hours to get a shower, to clean up there. So I'll save all my tefillas kelim for, I don't need it till tomorrow anyway, I'll save all my tefillas kelim for tomorrow. So he says that's a very, very bad idea. Why? Because then you're going to inevitably leave tamei kelim around the house. And again, if you have kachim around the house, that's not a good idea. So then something's going to touch the kli, the meat's going to touch the kli, the food's going to become tamei, so you also be achila. All kind of disastrous things are going to happen. So in order to encourage people to tevel the kelim as soon as possible, so Chazal threw an iser that don't do it on Yantif to force you to do it earlier. It's almost like a similar kind of a thing. It's like chalamoid. The reason why the Mishnah says you can't do laundry and you can't get haircuts on chalamoid is because it's everyone has a lot of free time on chalamoid, so we're afraid people are going to push it off to chalamoid, and Chazal didn't want that because then you're going to look like a wreck and you have a dirty shirt and you're going to look like a mess on every Yantif. And when Yantif begins, so therefore, they told you, you can't do it on Chol HaMoed, hoping to force your hand to do it before. So it's a simple kind of a gezeirah. If that's the reason, then this has nothing to do with Melacha Shabbos and Yontif. It's just a pure tumah v'tahara consideration. But the Gemara says that. The Gemara says there are three other reasons that are given why this issue was instituted, which is very much a Yontif / Shabbos reason. So one reason the Gemara says is that we don't want you to be titling your kelim on Yontif. Gezeirah Shem Yavirena Dalat Amos. We're afraid you may come to carry your kli to the mikvah. Some of you are probably wondering, and what's so terrible if I carry my kli? I'm allowed to carry Yontif. What's so terrible? So the Gemara says, you're right, that there's nothing really wrong about tefillas kelim on Yontif, but Chazal didn't want you to be tevel your kelim on Shabbos. And once they asked Shabbos, so Yontif and Shabbos the other day, they threw Yontif for good luck. It means once they made a gezeirah, Shem Yaviranu, so they said, let's do all the tefillas. People should get into the habit of all tefillas, everything. How come we could call, should be done before Yom Kedoshim, before Shabbos starts, before Yontif starts. People should get into the habit, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom, do all the tefillas kelim. Because if you let people push off the tefillas kelim to otherwise, then even though on Yontif per se nothing's terrible, but on Shabbos that would be a disaster. Gezeirah Shem Yaviranu Dalat Amos B'Shus HaRabim. If this is the case, if this is the source for the Gezeirah, this is part of the general Gezeirah Shem Yaviranu. We know this Gezeirah already from long ago. This is why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos and we don't shake a lulav on Shabbos. This year in Eretz Yisrael, so Yerushalayim, this year it's going to be Purim Shulos. So the day of Purim of Shushan Purim is going to be actually on Shabbos. They're not going to read the Megillah on Shabbos. They're going to read the Megillah on Friday. Again, it's all for the same reason that we want to prevent anybody messing up and carrying on Shabbos. So if that's the reason, so then again, it's also not really a Yontif. It's really a Shabbos reason. Kind of spills over by default. I think there's another reason. The Gemara says, Gzeir Shema Yischait. We're afraid that if you tell your kelim on Shabbos or Yontif for that matter, you make up to squeeze out the water, and squeezing out the water is a problem. So some of you are probably thinking, I'm going to squeeze out the water out of what? Out of my pot? Out of my silverware? So the answer is no. That in the olden days, people have to tumble garments, clothing as well. If my shirt got tame, so then I have to bring it to the mikvah. So I have to be metame in the mikvah, tumble in the mikvah. So it's very possible that if people are going to be tumbling kelim right and left from Shabbos and Yontif, so some of the kelim they're going to be tumbling are going to be shirts, they're going to be pants, they're going to be their kelim that may end up getting wrung out. And if you go ahead and you seichet, squeeze the kelim, squeeze the begodim, that's an iser. Not only do that, that's an iser of kibbutz. We spoke about that. I have no idea. I don't remember anymore when we spoke about kibbutz. It's been quite some time. So part of lechis kibbutz is now let it squeeze on, wring out your laundry. Let's say if you wash your socks on Erev Shabbos, then you come up Friday night and you want to finish up the job and you squeeze him out, that's an issue. So we're afraid if the guy's going to tifle his socks and he's going to squeeze out his socks, that's a problem. So that's the third reason the Gemara gives. So they're all wonderful reasons, but they have nothing to do with Ashir. So why are we talking about it now? Because it's the fourth reason that concerns us the most, that interests us the most. Gemara says, Rabba Amar, the fourth reason is, Mishum de Mechse, Kimisakin Kli. When you toivel Kalim, it gives off the impression like you're fixing something. What am I fixing? Who am I fixing? Whatever. I'm fixing a broken pot. It means up until now, this pot was unusable for the base of English, unusable for Truman Rice Shani. If I would use this pot, it would make everything tummy. I'd have to throw everything out. So I had a broken, halachically broken pot. Now, when I bring it to the mikvah, Baruch Hashem, now I have a usable pot. The Rabbi says that smacks of misakin kli. That's like fixing a broken pot. Now notice the lashon the Gemara says is mechse kimisakli. It's kimisakli. Kafadimian. It's like you're fixing the pot, which clearly indicates to us that it's not a deraisa. It looks, it resembles a mashul. If you do this, next thing you know is you're gonna screw in the screw to your table. It looks a shtickle like a misakin kli. So that's a very loaded question. What do you mean it's near a misakin kli? If you really believe that you're fixing something, so then you're really fixing it. It's a little bit makmapatish. Why isn't it makmapatish deraisa? So if Imkvar Askvav, Rav is already telling me that the reason why I can't toivel the kli that's Tomei and Shabbos and Yontif is because it gives off the resemblance of Misakin Kli, why isn't it the real Makoi? Why isn't it a real bona fide Machmet Tatish? There is a Machlaikis in Rishonim as to what the answer to this question is. Everyone agrees that it's not their eyes, that the Gemara is Beferish, it's only in the Siddur Rabbanan. But the question is, Imkvar, you're already learning that it's part of the Sugi Machmet Tatish, why isn't it a their eyes? So there are two different approaches in the Gedol De Rishonim. It revolves around the sugi that we spoke about probably more than once in the Chushab Shurim, definitely more than once because of the history of the Shurim here. And that's a sugi, a very famous sugi that appears in Maseches Sukkah. It's also Machlokatish related sugi. It's a sugi that appears in Maseches Sukkah in Daf Lamed Gimel, where the Gemara talks about if you have a hadas, and the hadas has a lot of berries on it. It's got some leaves on it, it's got a lot of berries on it. The Mishnah says if it has more berries than leaves, then the das is possible. Why exactly that is, it's not 100% clear. But that's the din. The din is Allah HaMaisa. The Minatorah, that's not considered to be an acceptable hadas. If it has more berries than leaves, or the berries are certain colors, etc. So comes the Gemara and says, but if you plump off the berries, then the hadas is kosher, becomes kosher again. So the Mishnah just says, by the way, the aim of the miyomtiv. You're not supposed to pluck off the berries on Yantif. Why not? What's the term about pluck off the berries on Yantif? The Gemara says the reason why you can't pluck the berries off is because you're misakin kli, because you're fixing it. It means before the berries were plucked off, this hadas was worthless. You could use it for Luvin Esrei. Now you're misakin it, so the misakin kli. So there's a machlekes of Rishayin, everything tells in the Mordechai, just how bad an Isser is this. The guy went ahead and he didn't listen to us. He didn't read the Mishnah in Sukkah. He went on his own and he plucked off the berries. So he violated this terrible Isser of Eimimata Miyantif. So how bad of an Isser did he violate? So Taisus writes, no, not Nisadir Haisa. Only Nisadir Rabbanan. We're not minimizing Nisadir Rabbanan. It's not a Dir Haisa. It's not a Nisadir Haisa. And the Mordechai quoted to the end of Masechah Sukkah. It is a Dir Haisa. The Gemara meant that literally, it's Makom HaPatish, Pshuta Kemashmo. It is an Isser. And it's an Isser Gomer of Makom HaPatish. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes? What are the 2 days in Rishon fighting about? Why does Tosfos hold that it's only a Makom HaPatish Derabbanan, and the Mordechai says it's a Makom HaPatish Deraisa? So the Mechatz Chiddush gets the ball rolling a little bit, and then others expand on it. The basic Mahalach is as follows. Mechatz Chiddush develops an idea and says that the definition of Tikkun in Ilchos Shabbos is very, very physical oriented. It means the Torah only recognizes Tikkun Kli, Makom HaPatish, those terms, Misakin Kli, Misakin Mona, the Torah recognizes broken tables and broken chairs and broken pots. Those are physically broken items. If I have a pot that the handle fell off, I can't use it, and I screw the handle back on, that's Makom HaPatish Deraisa. If you have a table that's missing a leg, I screw it on, that's called Makom HaPatish Deraisa. If I fix something that wasn't really broken, it was just halachically not usable, so I think there's a phrase even, something goes along the lines, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. That's what the Mechatz Chiddush says. L'Avul says, if it's not broken, then quote unquote fixing is not called fixing. And how do you define what's called broken? Broken for Shabbos purposes is defined by Olam Hazeh, Metzias. If you want to know whether something's broken, don't go to the Beis Medrash and ask for a Lomdusha assessment. Go to Home Depot and ask the guy there with the orange apron and ask him whether this is broken or not. If he tells you it's broken, oh, so then it's Makom HaPatish, should I fix it? And he tells you there's nothing wrong with this, but imagine you bring a pot to an appliance store, to a non-Jewish appliance store. they bring a pot and say, oh yeah, yeah, this pot, it's terrible, this pot is broken. So the guy looks at you, what's broken about it? I can't use it for anything. It's terrible, it's broken. The guy says, what's wrong with you? The guy says, well, there's a siman in halacha about if you have a pot that's tomei and it's going to make my food tomei, so I can't use it. The guy says, I never heard that siman. I don't know. I'm not Jewish. I don't know anything about tumah b'tahara. So comes b'chazkuch and says, the non-Jew is right. I mean, it's b'deraisa. That's not called tikkun. B'derabbanan, it's called tikkun. Its shtickle looks a little bit like tikkun. So therefore, the Taisus holds that whenever the tikkun is a halachic tikkun in nature, that is, by definition, not called makwapath shderaisa. Makwapath shderaisa revolves around a physical tikkun, not a halachic spiritual kind of a tikkun. So it says, b'chazkuch, the source for Taisus is our sugya. Because the Gemara says it's mechsek imamash, it's a nearing kimisach. It looks like you're fixing it. Why doesn't the Gemara say it's their raisa? So the answer is because it's only spiritual, not physical nature. But the problem is, according to the view of the Mordechai and Sukkah, that plucking off the berries is a their raisa. It's the real makor. It's mamash makabadish their raisa. So then we're back to square one. If plucking off the berries is makabadish their raisa, why isn't toveling the tummy clean? What's the difference? They're both spiritual tikkunim. And the answer is, even according to the Mordechai, there's a tremendous difference between the two. In the case of the hadas, the ramifications of having berries and plucking the berries off is spiritual in nature. Nobody outside of a frum Jew looking for hadas on the first day of Sukkot could care less about an extra berry or two. So the ramifications of what you're doing are only impacting in the spiritual halachic world. But physically, you are doing something that is recognizable. Like it's, even the non-Jewish florist will tell you, okay, well, you used to have 20 berries, now you have 10 berries, so you did something. The non-Jewish florist is scratching his head and wondering, why is this guy doing it? What's the difference? I thought the berries look nice, he says. So why are you plucking the berries off? So the guy is screaming, got to pluck the berries off because in Shulchan Aruch, the hadassah is not kosher. So says the Mordechai, even though the consequence of what you're doing is not physical in nature, but the act that you're doing is physical in nature. I mean, there's a before and after. I could tell it used to have 20 berries, now it has 10 berries. The case of the Mishnah about Tfilas Kalim, even the act itself is not recognizable. If you look at a pot before it went into the mikvah, you have to come out of the mikvah, unless you have some super vision that can sense halachic properties or something, there's no difference. The pot looks the exact same. So say the poskim, Bedasa Mordechai, even the Mordechai who said that halachic tikkunim is called the tikkun midaraisa, but medevar mamurim, when the halachic tikkun is at least chutz recognizable, at least you could see something happen. If you can't even see that anything happened, that's a nothing, that's a zero, that's meaningless. Mashal madav adayim is almost an identical kind of a parallel kind of a shayla in the realm of nezek, not above a common sugyas. There's a din that if I'm mazik, you're mokunim chayef to pay. So let's say if I take a sledgehammer and I smash your car, so I'm chayef to pay. Maka nefesh ben mishalmena. I'm going to have to pay it as an other mazik. What if I damage you in a way that's not recognizable? It's a spiritual kind of a damage. What does that mean? I'm a really, really mean guy, and I go over to your truma, and I take a dead animal, I touch it to your truma. Matami is a truma. But now that truma is going to be where you can't use the truma anymore. So I caused you a tremendous hefsid mama. So that's what's called the hezek she'eino nikar. Lamaisa, no one can see the difference. I know that my truma became tom, and I know there's no way I can put a mikvah food, can't go on the mikvah. So halachically, mikvah doesn't work for food, it works for Adam and Caleb. So there's nothing I can do now about this with this truma. I mean, maybe I could use it for Shem and Tomei, whatever. It significantly went down and down. I can't eat it anymore. It's a deraisa to eat it. But that's called the hezek she'eino nikar. So I caused a loss of value to you, but the loss of value was brought about because of spiritual reasons, not because of physical reasons. So the machlokes in the Gemara in the fifth parak of Gittin, is that called mazik deraisa or not? Everyone agrees the mazik you have to pay. Mishnas you have to pay, but according to one opinion in the Gemara, you only have to pay as a knas derabanan. They penalize you for doing such a mean thing. But mid deraisa, that's not called mazik because it's not nigalayin. And the other day says no, it is called nigalayin. So there's a Ramban that discusses the following. The Ramban says maybe we can almost draw a distinction between two scenarios. Says the Ramban, what if I caused the damage to you, let's say you hired me to shecht your animal for you, and I messed up the shechita. So there's a whole sugi, the other Baba Kama, do I have to pay, not have to pay, Shayam, Aynes, Mazik, Shayam, a lot of details go into that sugi. So in the middle of that sugi, the Ramban raises the question, is messing up a shechita called a hezek hanikar, Is that called the Hezek She'eino Nikur? Is that recognizable or not recognizable? So the Ramban offers the following possible suggestion, possible distinction. It may depend on what does it mean I messed up the Shechita. There are different ways to invalidate the Shechita. There is some kind of invalidating the Shechita that's near La'ayin. You could tell that I goofed. You can tell that I made the cut in the wrong place. You can tell that I did something. You can tell I yanked it. You can tell. By looking at it, you can see. Now, your non-Jewish butcher couldn't care less. In the non-Jewish world, the fact that you cut the sibin half an inch too high, half an inch too low, is a little mild. It's not going to cause the meat to depreciate Q-Z in the non-Jewish market. In the Jewish market, it's going to make the difference between kosher meat and non-kosher meat. So it comes to Ramban and says that's one kind of invalidating shechita. Then there's another kind of invalidating shechita. I could theoretically invalidate your shechita and nobody can even know. Nobody can even see. It's impossible for anyone to ever see it. How is that? There's a din. Let's say when I shecht a little bit of the sim, a little bit of the trachea or the esophagus. I shecht a little bit. And then I stop. And then I continue a second later. And then I stop. I do what's called shahiyah. So I have a break in the action. It's a whole sugya in Sefer Chulin. Depending on all, it's halacha mashma Sinai that shahiyah disqualifies a shechita. But at the end of the day, no one can tell. If I bring this animal to the market, who's going to know? Unless you have Ruach HaKadosh, who in the world is going to know whether I cut the simon at one time or I cut the simon and I stopped and I'm about to go down mincha in the middle of the simon. At the end of the day, the simon is cut. The Ramban says those two cases are not exactly identical. In one case, it's physically recognizable. In the other case, it's not, even though they're both only halachically significant. So that nekuda that the Ramban is raising in a totally different area of halacha is related to what the Mordechai is saying here also. That not every halachic result, not any halachic ramifications can be ignored in Hilchos Shabbos. That if it's something that's completely not recognizable, like the Tfilas Kelim, nobody can see whether the Kli is Tahor or Tamei. Nobody has that koyach to discern whether the Kli is Tamei or Tahor. So that cannot be a deraisa. That's for sure Machlokes Patish Rabbanan. But something that can be discerned, it's just that nobody besides from people can care less whether it's discernible, like the case of the Hadassim, that may be a Machlokes Patish deraisa. But getting back to our case, the case of the pot, Kuliyama, everyone agrees, more than Durban, it's not going to be. Mechzik Machlokes Patish, that's the worst that's going to be. So Lemaisa, the Mishnah says you can't do Tefillas Kelim for Tuma. We haven't said a word about our Tefillas Kelim yet. You can't do Tefillas Kelim for Tuma for one of four possible reasons. Either we don't want you to leave over Kelim because you're going to have to Tamei Kelim around, bad idea, or because you may carry on Shabbos, or because you may do schita on the clothing that you're talking about, or because of mechzei kemach b'tavish. So the question is any of this relevant bechlal for us as manazeh? Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
So how come we don't consider tevilat nida erev Shabbat?
Oh, very good, excellent. So that's actually the Mishnah and the part when it comes to that. You're 100% right. You're mamash on target. Why don't we call every tefillas nida being a machmer patish also? Yeah, we're going to talk about that off a bit as the weeks go on. As the shiur go on. So, come to Rishonim and raise two different questions which are very, very much related to one another. Namely, which of these reasons do we accept lahalacha? And assuming that we do accept one, two, three, or four of these reasons, do which of these reasons carry over to the tefillas kelim that concerns us as manazeh today? We don't have a basic image. So we don't have to vitara, we don't have a truma, we might say shayni, the kachir. None of this, none of these halachas are practical for us today. Not yet. Here we're going to we'll go back to the old days of tum vitara. But tefillas kelim that we do have does exist. That's a mission. The other says, but it has nothing to do with tefillas kelim. When I'm tayvah my silverware, it's still tame. It's tame tumas mace. It's still tame. So, but there's a mitzvah tefillas kelim, nothing to do with tumah v'tahara. There's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma called tefillas kelim. Halakech kelim min anochem. It's a mishnah in the end of the sefer v'nezar. Halakech min akom. So there's a requirement that you have to be tovel the kelim. You can't use the kelim to be tovel the kelim. The Rishonim raise a question: is that kind of tefillas kelim also off limits on Shabbos and Yontif? Or maybe there's reason to believe that not. So this discussion in the Rishonim starts off with a further back discussion, namely, which reason do we paskin like? So some of the reasons right away we'll realize are bechlal not relevant for us. That if those are the reasons, so then they don't speak to Atfilas Kelim. Let's say the Moshe, the concern of we're afraid Shem Yischo, make up to squeeze out the garment. Oh, wait a second. In the olden days when you're toveling not only pots and pans and silverware, but you're toveling shirts and socks, Mishnei Tumah, so then there's a real concern. You may come to be seichet by mistake. So we don't want to let you tovel the pots because there that you're going to start tovelling your shirts and you're going to end up squeezing out the shirts. I find that very hard to apply to Eretz Tfilas Kelim Bizman Hazeh. I have not yet found the kli that you eat with that can be squeezed out. I don't know, maybe someone will tell me they found it. Your pots and your pans and your silver and your glasses. Yeah, no one's squeezing those things. It doesn't make any sense even. So therefore, one can argue, and some Rishonim do argue, if the real reason for the Yisr is Gzeir Shem Yischot, then it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really apply for us, Bizman Hazeh. Or let's say if the real reason is we don't want to delay Tfilas Kelim too much, because if you do, then you're going to end up being metame your food. It's going to be a metame kotchi, metame a disaster. No one's metame anything Bizman Hazeh. What's going to be the disaster? The world's biggest disaster. You'll end up cooking in a soup in a pot that wasn't toivel. Shatay a secret. The Rambam says, but the heavy can eat the soup anyway. So it's not the end of the world. The world's not going to self-destruct. If you end up pushing off Tfilas Kelim for a couple of days. So if the reason why Chazal asked Tfilas Kelim and Yom Tov is to push you to do it early, that reason probably doesn't apply either. So we're 50%. We knocked out 2 out of 4. So 2 out of the 4 reasons don't apply for us. But the problem is, we have 2 other reasons to reckon with. The reason of Shemi Avirena B'Shisarab may still apply for us. And the reason of Misak and Kli may still apply for us. So that's really where we have to pick up from Mitzvah next week, particularly on the Misak and Kli part. If the reason is Misak and Kli, which many Rishonim learn is the emissary reason, that's the Ika reason, it could be that's the ultimate bottom line, the real, honest, the goodest, real, true reason is that last reason. If that's the reason, the Shevi Misak and Kli, it's Nirik and Misak and Kli, does that reason apply to our Tevilas Kelim as well? So we need a little bit more information to be able to answer that correctly, because we have to first understand what exactly is the role of Eretz Tfilas Kelim Bizman Hazeh. Are we fixing anything? Is anything broken? I mentioned before, it's nothing to do with Tuba V'Tahara, the Diyav, you can eat the food. Is the imagery that we're doing of Tfilas Kelim a real fixing something broken Bizman Hazeh? So that's going to take a little bit more of understanding of Tfilas Kelim. And then to be able to apply the back to Chashavs and Yontif, or do that understanding, those new parameters of Tfilas Kelim of Bizman Hazeh, how does that play out in terms of doing that in Shabbat and Yom Tov? Next week, we'll continue for that. Okay.